Islamic laws. Because, for example, there is a recommended prayer, and the people, the muqallideen, are asked to say a 2 rak'ah of prayer, for example. In that case, they need to refer to the scholars that they follow and to ask his viewpoint about Ayatul Kursi, whether it is only one verse or 3 verses. But there are some evidences which shows that Ayatul Kursi, as mentioned in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt, is only one verse.
Okay.
And it is verse 255 of chapter Baqarah. And the following 2 verses are not called Ayatul Kursi, although according to some narrations, it is recommended, at least in some cases,
yes,
to recite these 2 verses after mm-hmm. Ayatul Kursi. But they are not included.
And this numbering is important, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because it is maybe the best of the best or cream of the Quran.
That's the point.
That's the point. That's why the numbering, exactly, whether it is 1 or 3, is important. Okay.
So, and of course, when it comes to jurisprudence, for example, you are asked by the Imam of the Ahl Bayt, you are encouraged to recite Ayatul Kursi in a prayer. So if mm-hmm. it is only one verse, you are not allowed to recite the, other additional verses.
Okay.
Now, as I mentioned, there are some at least indications which show that Ayatul Kursi is only one verse. First of all, in all the narrations which talk about the virtue and merits of reciting the verse, we have Ayatul Kursi. Mm-hmm. It's not Ayatul Kursi.
Yes.
It's the verse of Kursi, or
yes,
the seat.
Okay.
Which, of course, I need to explain that this verse is talking metaphorically about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not okay, a physical seat for God.
Yes, okay.
So it's not ayat or verses, it is only Ayatul Kursi, which is at least an indication that the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt are talking about only one verse,
yes,
and not 3 verses.
Okay.
For example, in one narration, the Imam says, "Man bata fi darin wa baytin wahda," if you're alone in a house and you're going to sleep, you're alone, then فَلْيَقْرَ آيَةَ الْكُرْسِي. Then you need to, you are encouraged to recite Ayatul Kursi and not Ayatul Kursi. And then Imam says to, follow that by a supplication, which reads, Allahumma anat wahjati, and the rest of the narration. This is mentioned in the Kafi, right, volume 2, page 573.
Okay.
The second indication is that the term Kursi, from which Ayatul Kursi derive its name,
yes,
is mentioned only in the first verse, 255.
Yes.
The third indication is that there are some narrations in which the Imam of the Ahl Bayt themselves, they have mentioned that Ayatul Kursi begins from Allahu la ilaha illahu and ends with Wahuwal Aliyul Azim,
that's right,
which is verse 255.
Okay.
For example, there is a narration by Imam Ali alayhi salam, as quoted by Sheikh al-Tusi in his Amali, page 508, also quoted by Allama Majlisi in Bihar, volume 83, page 126.
Okay.
The next point is that in Mustadrak Safinat al-Bihar, we read that O Ayatul Kursi ma'rufa wa hiya ila qawlihi wa huwa al-Aliyyul Azim. The famous Ayatul Kursi is until the phrase wa huwa al-Aliyyul Azim.
That's right. Okay.
So all these narrations, at least there, are indicating the fact that there is only one verse known,
yes,
as Ayatul Kursi. The next point is that in some narrations, we are told that Ayatul Kursi consists of 50 words, which are blissful. And when we count the number of the words in the verse 255, we come to this conclusion that this one verse consists of 50 words. So again, this is another indication to show that it is only verse 255.
Okay.
So all these indications, as I mentioned, refer to the fact that we have only one verse.
Yes.
But as I mentioned, we have another viewpoint among the Shia scholars who believe that verses 256 and 57 are
okay,
also included. And for example, Sayyid Muhammad Kadhim Yazdi, in his famous book, Al-Urwat al-Wuthqa, he says that it is according to the precaution to read verses 256 and 57 also in the Salat, in the prayer for Laylatul Daf, the night that
the burial prayer is
exactly
done. That's right,
yeah.
Okay.
So we have these two different viewpoints, but as I mentioned, yes. The famous one seems to be the fact that there is only one verse.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
But why this ayah is so much respected by the Muslims? I mean, is it at all right to say that, for example, we have a best ayah in the Holy Quran, which is the gist of the Holy Quran or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
There are some titles given to different chapters and different, verses of the Noble Book of Quran. And it seems that it is because of the content of those chapters and those verses. For example, for Fatihatul Kitab, we have different names. Fatiha, which is because of the fact that it is beginning of the surah of the Noble Book of Quran. We have the term, the heart of the Quran, for chapter Yasin. The point about Ayatul Kursi is that there are a series of lessons about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and monotheism mentioned in this one verse. Mm-hmm. We do not have time to explain about different phrases of these verses. Tawheed, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introduced and different names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned in this verse. This is to the extent that we understand. There might be other reasons, other layers of the meaning and other wisdoms and philosophy which may not be aware of.
That's right.
As for the virtues of reciting this verse, there are many narrations in this regard. For example, to read Ayatul Kursi after each prayer. The Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, if you recite Ayatul Kursi after each obligatory prayer, you are under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the next prayer.
Okay.
In another narration, the Holy Prophet says, if you recite Ayatul Kursi after each obligatory prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will take your soul, because we know that when it comes to the time of the death, we have different possibilities. Sometimes the agent in charge would be the archangel Israel, or that agent might be other angels.
Okay.
But in this case, there is no angel here. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking the soul.
That's right.
And the Prophet continues, and this person is like the one who has done jihad and has been martyred with the prophets.
That's right. Okay.
Imam Ali alayhi salam also quotes the Prophet as saying, if you say and recite Ayatul Kursi after each obligatory prayer, it is only death which is between you and paradise, meaning that right after passing away, you will go to the heaven.
That's right. Okay.
This is about reciting Ayatul Kursi after the prayer. When it comes to making wudu, we have some narrations about the importance and significance of reciting this verse at the time of making the minor ablution.
That's right.
For example, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam is quoted as saying, if you recite Ayatul Kursi after wudu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of 40 years of worship, and your rank would be, your level before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be raised for 40 degrees or 40 levels.
That's all right.
Among the recommended actions to be done for people who have passed away is to recite Ayatul Kursi, and we see that many people who used to visit the graves, they recite chapter Fatiha, chapter Tawheed, and also Ayatul Kursi. Imam Ali alayhi salam is quoted as saying, if a believer recites Ayatul Kursi and send the blessing for the people who have passed away, then for each letter of Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint an angel who will glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the day of judgment. There are some narrations about the significance of reciting this verse in sajda, in prostration. And when you are alone, when you are fearful of different issues, especially when you are alone in a certain place, you are recommended to recite this verse. And these are some of the virtues and merits for reciting Ayatul Kursi. Of course, we need to know that in some cases, the narrations which talk about the rewards and virtues of reciting some verses, it means that if you recite, then you have the potentiality of gaining these rewards. What do I mean by potentiality? It means that sometimes you may recite a verse, you have the potentiality to receive the reward, provided that you do not nullify the effect by committing other sins. Sometimes you do some righteous action, but then you follow that by committing some sins, which may nullify that recommended action.
That's all right. Let's finish today's program with reading out the English translation of this ayah. Correct. Allah, there is no God except Him, is the living one, the all-sustainer. Neither drowsiness befalls Him nor sleep. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is it that may intercede with Him except with His permission? He knows what is before them and what is behind them, and they do not comprehend anything of His knowledge except what He wishes. His seat, Kursi here refers to the verse, that's right. His seat embraces the heavens and the earth, and He is not wearied by their preservation, and He is the All-Exalted, the All-Supreme. That's all right. His seat embraces the heavens and the earth. That's all right. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding Ayatul Kursi and whether it is one ayah or three ayahs of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, referring to this noble ayah of the Holy Quran. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
The Sideline.
Hello and welcome to The Sideline, where we discuss the latest hot topics of the FIFA World Cup 2022. I am your host, Hamza Khayoun. Today, we'll reflect on those nerve-wracking semi-finals and look deeper into the dynamics of this momentous final between Argentina and France. As usual, we'll be hearing from our experts on this matter, but before that, we have a special report on how we've reached this point.
And then there were two. From 32 teams all entering Qatar with their hopes and dreams held high, there are now only two left to fight for the gold. France versus Argentina. The final showdown is upon us. Argentina beat Croatia 3-0 in their semi-final match, Lionel Messi hammering home a penalty and wowing the fans in Qatar with his skills. This semi-final match brought Croatia's World Cup hopes to a decisive end. The other semi-final was a different story. While a French team filled to the brim with former colonial subjects was able to defeat Morocco 2-0, it was a far closer affair. Morocco dominated the game, coming so close to scoring several times, but their fairy tale victory was not to be. Despite promising efforts from Ashraf Hakimi and a stunning bicycle kick from Javad Al-Yamik, which hit the post, the Moroccan team just couldn't break through the French defense. Morocco fought valiantly and gained the respect of millions across the world. As the first African team to reach this level of the competition, they've made history in Qatar. Now we're presented with an ultimate showdown between world champions France and a scintillating Argentinian side. This game will contain two players who are competing for the golden boot, Mbappe and Messi. Both of these legends have provided us with breathtaking moments throughout the competition, and it's likely they will see this final as an opportunity to cement their legacies. The French team that won the 2018 competition was almost 90% immigrants or children of immigrants from former French overseas territories. Has this gifted the team an unfair advantage? Argentina fans were spotted parading the Palestinian flag throughout the streets of Doha. Will they bring this energy to the final? Can France win a second World Cup in a row? Or can Argentina continue its irresistible rise? This Sunday, there will only be one winner.
We are joined in the studio by our resident football analyst, Mo Haider. Mo was a key figure in the development of Arsenal Fan TV, where he was eventually dismissed for his public support for the Palestinian cause. Now he runs his own YouTube channel, where he provides cutting-edge analysis and incisive commentary on the latest Arsenal games. We're also joined in the studio by Bav. Bav is a world-renowned YouTuber, an encyclopedia of football knowledge, and a Premier League expert. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me. So, Bav, the quarterfinal and semifinal have been super exciting to watch. Did they go as you expected?
Well, it was a surprise on the quarters for Morocco to go through, but a good surprise. And Croatia to beat Brazil as well in penalties. That was a really good game as well. But more importantly, I think, for England to get knocked out, it was heartbreaking, but Harry Kane did what he did. And I think into the semifinals, I was a bit more... I wanted Morocco to go through, but at the same time, I think France were the team that was always going to go through. They had more experience. And Argentina, because of Messi, I have to support them all the time.
And Mo, the knockout stage where you really get to see the pressure of the tournament. Which players have impressed you the most throughout the knockout stage and responding to that pressure?
Well, yeah, you're right. The pressure at the knockout stage of a tournament is insane. You're not just dealing with your own reputation. You're dealing for your whole country's hopes and dreams. And for some players, that becomes too much, and you see them slip into the shadows. But the true greats respond, and I think we've seen that with Lionel Messi, who's been the absolute standout player. In addition, I think Antoine Griezmann has responded really well to the pressure in these knockout stages. He's been a real shining star for France, where Mbappe has actually taken more of a back seat. But in addition to that, Alvarez for Argentina has done very, very well, especially for such a young player. Perhaps he doesn't feel the burden of the pressure which Messi has taken, but the standout player who's responded to that pressure has got to be the greatest of all time, Leo Messi.
And Bav, which players have been the standout performers at the World Cup so far, and
I think
why?
Morocco have quite a few. Unahi, I think he was very good yesterday in the semi-final. Amrabat's been amazing as well. The goalkeeper, Bono, he's been outstanding. But I think you go into Croatia as well, their goalkeeper, Livakovic, he's been fantastic as well. Gvardiol at the back, he's been amazing. France with Mbappe, I think Tchouameni's been very underrated as well. And then Lionel Messi at Argentina, I mean, what a player.
What would you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, as Bav was talking, I was thinking, when are you going to say Messi? It seems like at this World Cup, you can't have any conversation without saying Leo Messi. So I think he's done brilliantly. I think, it feels like it could be his World Cup, but I guess we'll discuss whether France can ruin that. But he has been the main man so far.
Well, at the beginning of the episodes, you predicted Brazil, Argentina and France as the two main contenders for the trophy. Two of those teams have now gone to the finals. The last time we spoke, you had France as favourites. What's your latest stance on this?
Unfortunately, I still think France are going to ruin what it seems like the footballing world generally want to see. Of course, other than the French footballing world. I think people want that poetic finale for Lionel Messi, but I think France are going to break his heart and the dreams of a lot of people.
Bav, what have you made of Morocco's performance so far? I mean, leading up to the semi-finals and the semi-finals themselves, what do you make of that?
I think they have been amazing. And going into the future, I think they give hope to other countries that might not have the historical World Cup history, but they can turn up at World Cup. And when the fans are behind them, they can do some amazing things. So, especially for African teams as well, because they've not really had... This was the first African team to get to a semi-final. So I think it's an inspiration for the future as well, and for Morocco themselves. Mm-hmm. The football they've played has been amazing. The defensive security, and then even going forwards, they've been so decisive on the counter-attack. I think, if anything, it's an inspirational story.
Well, do you think the final is a case of Mbappe versus Messi?
I mean, look, the narrative will obviously be Mbappe versus Messi, or in fact, I should say Messi versus Mbappe, because Messi is, for me, the leading light for Golden Ball. He's one assist ahead in the race for the Golden Boot. The story is obviously going to be about them, and no one would bet against one of those two men having the decisive moment in the final. But in reality, look, there are other very, very good players. A lot of French people right now feel as though Griezmann has actually been their standout player, the one pulling the strings, not necessarily racking up the stats, but the one pulling the strings. So on the French side, you have Griezmann, Rabiot has been fantastic, and Dembele hasn't really done enough. Perhaps he might have a moment in the final. On the other hand, with Argentina, you have Alvarez, as I mentioned, who could really make a difference. And even coming off the bench, Lautaro Martinez has really underperformed in this World Cup, slightly like Dembele. Perhaps he might be called on off the bench and have a decisive moment. But clearly, Messi and Mbappe are the favourites.
And Bab, who are you tipping on winning the Golden Ball and why?
The greatest of all time, Lionel Messi. Has to be. Most goals and assists. And I mean, the way he's carried the Argentina team has been amazing. I think they've got a good team, Argentina, but not one that should be in the final. But Messi makes that team special because he's a special player. So I think for me, it's an obvious answer.
Emma, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think Golden Boot is very much up for grabs. That's a objective measure, just the number of goals. But in terms of Golden Ball, it's more subjective. The importance that Messi has had on Argentina is far greater, in my opinion, than the importance that Mbappe has had on France. Because we've spoken about the shared responsibility in the French team, whilst it's a case of sole responsibility in the Argentinian team. Lionel Messi has been the best player of the World Cup.
And Bav, who is in your team of the tournament and why?
I think goalkeeper is Croatia's Livakovic. Saved four penalties to get into the semi-finals. I think he's been amazing. Left-back of Gonzalo Hernandez. He didn't start the World Cup. He was the backup left-back for France, but he's been amazing. Centre-backs of Gvardiol, and I've gone for Saiz. But I want to shout out Harry Maguire, because I think he had a lot of criticism going into the tournament, but now he's shown that he is a very, very good defender. Right-back, I've gone Hakimi for Morocco. I think he's been amazing as well, and the penalty against Spain was sensational. And then midfield, I'm going to go for... I want to shout out Amrabat, but I'm going to go Tchouameni, because I think he's been underrated for France. And alongside him, Luka Modric. He's fantastic. And to get to another semi-final, maybe get place as well. Amazing. Midfield wide forwards, I'm going to go for Griezmann. Even though he's not played there, I think he's been fantastic with France. I think he's made the most chances in the entire tournament. And I'm also going to go for Bruno Fernandes, who I think was also very underrated. Up front, I think the obvious answer is Messi and Mbappe. Fantastic players.
Well, what do you make of that? And quickly, what is your final prediction for the match between France and Argentina?
So I agree with a lot of Babs that said there, but I'd actually go Bonu for the goalkeeper position. In midfield, I would agree with Fernandes, but I'd put Bellingham in there and I'd put Griezmann in there as well in place of Luka Modric. Other than that, I agree. So I think we're quite aligned, just a few differences. But I think what really speaks volumes is that in the team, we've got four Moroccans in Bonu, Hakimi, Saiz and Amrabat, and all of them in that defensive role, which really echoes just how well Morocco have done defensively in this tournament. And for the final, unfortunately, I'm going to have to say I think France will 2-1, either in normal time or perhaps extra time, but I think they'll get over the line 2-1.
And Bav, what do you think?
Argentina.
Argentina?
2-1. Messi.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us on the sideline today and throughout the World Cup. We've enjoyed bringing you all this news from this tournament and hope you enjoy the final. From all of us here at the sideline, goodbye.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers of your questions are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member of Al Mustafa University and researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Professor Nakavi, we would like to start today's discussion with an audience question. We have a lady from India who is saying that, I have a niece who is 16 years old and she does not observe hijab. And when we talk to her, she ignores. And when I talk to her mother, she says she is still a child. While as in our previous discussions, you said practical Islamic laws should not be observed at puberty, rather much before than that. And 16 is a very far from the age of puberty for girls. So what do you say on that note?
Yes, exactly. I mean, even if we consider some of the opinion of some ulama who consider the age of puberty to be 13 for girls, even compared to that, 16 is too much, is beyond that age. Normally, the general opinion is 9 years of age. But even if it is 13, then 16 is beyond that. The most important thing is observing hijab, as I said. Importantly, everything that a child or a person should do in his life or life for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah Almighty, it is very clear that in Islam, we say Allah says, "La ikraha fid din." You can't enforce people to do things. They have to do it with their own personal volition, voluntarily, with sincerity. So you cannot enforce things upon others. La ikraha fid din does not mean that we can't impose Islamic laws. We can't, though it's not necessary for them to observe hijab if they don't want to do so.
And especially the youth today, you can't impose anything on them.
Yes, you can't impose. But that does not mean that Islam does not want them to observe hijab. Islam wants to say, La ikraha fid din, I mean, I don't want to enforce this upon you, impose it upon you. I want you to do it voluntarily.
Yeah.
With the reasoning
behind sincerity.
With sincerity. You should know why I'm telling you this. Either you understand the reason or you don't understand the reason, but at least you should know that when I'm telling you to do something, it's because of what is beneficial for yourself in this world and the hereafter. Therefore, 16 years, she should have been prepared for that before that, at an early age, at a tender age. There she would have been able to easily copy her parents, or the women at least, in the family. So that is a problem for the whole society. But especially if one in one's household, one sees the elder women, elder sisters or the mother or the grandmother, they are observing the hijab, so it becomes an easy thing for the child at a tender age. But when one comes to the age of puberty and adolescence, there, one, if a person becomes a little bit, as we will talk about the changes that come about in a child at that age, at a young person, the physical changes are taking place, mental changes are taking
hormonal
place.
Changes.
He or she becomes quite aggressive.
Yeah.
he or she is starting to develop the understanding or the cognitive process is developing such a way that he or she is challenging everything,
yes.
questioning everything.
Yes.
So there the parents have to deal with that stage very, very tenderly and not to react in such a way that aggressiveness is increased. Therefore, unfortunately, what happens is if a child is not prepared beforehand, then at that age, which is the age of adolescence, it is a sensitive age and it's not very difficult to impose anything upon a child. Therefore, we have in the hadith, which we have received from the Holy Prophet, it is mentioned that the first 7 years, the second 7 years, the third 7 years,
the entire process of tarbiyah is divided into three phases.
So yeah. if that first stage is observed properly, then we can come to a stage where a person is ready to accept the words of
and
the
other. Each following phase would become easier. As we have practiced.
And so the person who is saying that my niece is not doing so, number one, yes, it is necessary for her to carry out Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar for that child. For her mother and explain to her also that 16 is not an age where she should not be observing.
Yeah.
And that is her responsibility.
Yeah, we'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I am with Professor Naqavi, and we are discussing about adolescence. We discussed an audience question wherein a lady was actually concerned about her 16-year-old niece who was not observing hijab. But Professor Naqavi, you said that before this lady starts doing Amr bin Ma'ruf, inviting towards good to the 16-year-old, she should be doing same for her mother because as a guide, as a parent, as a trainer, if she observes, then it would be very easy for the daughter to observe it.
Exactly, that is so. I mean, if the mother is resisting that, then how can we expect for the child, her daughter, to accept what her auntie is saying? And therefore, the responsibility becomes a little more difficult for the lady who wants to make the child observe hijab. She must work on the mother first. And the mother, if she wanted to make her observe hijab 16, would be very late for that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, even I have lived in societies wherein if you're teens and you're observing hijab, and then the old women would come and would tell you, are you an auntie that you're putting on hijab? Because they have portrayed, they have actually perceived the image of hijab-wearing girls as the elderly women.
Unfortunately, that is the difficult situation which we find ourselves today, that observing, of course, I'm not saying that hijab is the only thing which has to be taken care of, but it is a symbolic thing for a Muslim lady, for a faithful, practicing Muslim, to observe hijab as a symbol of her faith, as a symbol of our being a religious person.
In fact, the symbol of your modesty.
Exactly. I mean, we should make people realize, women folk especially, that hijab is not a limitation. It is rather emancipation. It gives freedom. It gives dignity. You cover things up which are precious. If you have the crown, if you have jewelry in your house, you will cover them up in something which will provide them protection.
You won't put that in the access of every third person.
Exactly. So something is covered which is precious. Therefore, one should understand that hijab, we should make people understand that hijab is not a limitation. It is not being imposed. It is an obligation which Allah Almighty has made necessary for us for the sake of giving us dignity, providing a society with peace, tranquility, in a society where people do not observe. Hijab is, of course, not just hijab is not just clothing. Hijab is a condition. It's not just only wearing a scarf or a veil or whatever. Hijab is a condition. It has to be observed in one's attire. One has to be observed in one's eyes. It has to be observed in one's way of talking. It has to be observed in one's way of walking.
That's so beautiful.
I mean, this is which is there in the Quran. For each and every of these instances, Quran is talking about the hijab.
Yeah.
Hijab is not just limited to one thing.
Yeah,
so and it's not only for women, it's for men also.
Yeah, we would love to know about that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
The Prophet ﷺ said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I am with Professor Naqavi, and we're discussing the concept of hijab, how you can teach this concept to your adolescents. Well, Professor Naqavi, before going to the break, you touched a very, very important point that when you're teaching hijab to adolescents, it's not just the outer covering to be taught to daughters. It's also something that you got to teach to your boys.
Exactly.
How?
I mean, as I was mentioning, it has been mentioned in the Holy Quran that men folk should lower their gazes. Women folk should lower their gazes. That is the hijab in the eyes.
Wow.
That is to be taken care of. Of course, the basic thing is that one of the issues that is there in the hijab, or in any way, anything which is related to hijab, any form, any thought, or anything which leads to feelings which arise in us, which are specifically feelings which are there between a man and his wife. As a husband and wife, the feelings which are aroused to carry out the sexual relationship, that is very necessary. If that is not there, one cannot carry out that union of the man and woman to create that relationship which leads to the offspring. That is something natural. It has to be there. Those desires, those feelings, those emotions are very important for the sustenance of human life. But they have to be managed. They have to be controlled.
When it comes to non-mahrams especially.
When it becomes to non-mahrams. And therefore, any condition which leads to the arousal of such feelings in any other condition which is apart from the relationship between the man and the wife are condemnable. They cannot be allowed. Even if a person is looking at some as at a statue and those feelings are created, it is not permissible. One should desist from observing or looking at a thing. What to say of a non-mahram person? So the hijab in the eyes is desisting and restraining oneself and refraining from looking at anything which leads to those feelings. So that is one thing. That is important. Or touching something which causes those feelings. Or any condition which you can find yourself in where those feelings are aroused and you are not able to satisfy yourself in the halal way, they have to be
controlled and managed.
Therefore, if it is as a result of looking at a person,
someone, so you have
or
to
talking to someone, or listening to someone, or even trying to even walking in a way that causes those feelings to arise in the other person.
You've got to control all that.
They have to. So the basic thing is that those feelings have to be managed.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Professor Naqavi, for being with us and for giving us such a beautiful concept of hijab and answering this question in the best possible way you could. Dear sisters and daughters listening out there, if I say to myself that hijab is something which, it's for myself, so I won't be doing it for myself. It's all about my grave. It's all about my choice. It's all about my life, as per the so-called hashtags. No, it's about the modesty of your brothers that you could help in, that you could maintain, in addition to your own modesty. Thank you so much for being with us. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. This is a part of political divine will of the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. Islam and Islamic government is a divine phenomenon. It is a school of thought that, unlike polytheistic schools, carefully intervenes and supervises individual, social, material, spiritual, cultural, political, military, and economic aspects of life, and does not neglect any point which may have a bearing on the growth of men and society, as well as their material and spiritual progress. It wants people of all difficulties and obstacles standing on the way of perfection in order to eradicate them.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and in this program, we try to have a profound reading of Imam Khomeini's precious words and speeches. Well, about the subject of knowledge and the knowledgeable, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh says that knowledge is brightness, but in a dark and corrupted heart, it will lead to more darkness and negligence. Well, this sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh raises a very elegant point about the nature of the scientist. As a lover of Imam Rahmatullah, I interpret it in this way, that the nature of a scientist is of utmost importance because it leads to the good and bad way of using that knowledge. There are some narrations condemning those scientists who have used knowledge as a tool to reach secular and mortal goals. The nature of knowledge leads to thinking and culminates in navigation and a change of life. When a knowledgeable person doesn't let the divine light within him or herself, that would result in corruption. Even in our narrations, we can see that the guilt and the blame toward a corrupted scientist is more heavier than that of an ignorant person. Well, let's have a break and we'll be back soon. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi. Welcome back. We're talking about knowledge in a corrupted heart and its bad results. Well, the danger of the growing number of corrupted scientists within the society is also threatening, and it must not be neglected. As a knowledgeable but faithless person starts to talk to a group of eligible or ignorant people, and soon they will be deceived, and in that way, the whole society would be in danger of losing faith and belief. Here I want to raise again the necessity of insight and taking action, which are great accommodations to boost the morale of the knowledgeable person. Well, for ending, let's just listen again to Imam Khomeini's speech about knowledge and the knowledgeable. Knowledge is brightness, but in a dark and corrupted heart, it will lead to more darkness and negligence. Thank you for being with us for today's episode. May Allah protect you all. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Tell about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listener's Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 18th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listener's Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, which I mention their names. Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, and Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain. So, Yusuf, Mizanur Rahman, and Juan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL or electronic QSL card from us. And of course, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read your letters. As I said, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco has sent us an email. From India, we've received an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharji. Hector Friyakhofre from Chile has sent us an email. Muhammad Aslam from India has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Ismo Kapi from Finland. So stay tuned, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. From Morocco, we've received an email from Yusuf Ben Meir. Let's see what Yusuf says. Dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings. I know that the electronic card is easier to send, and I hope that things will improve as soon as possible. However, I prefer to receive a paper QSL card rather than an electronic one or an EQSL, and I hope that would be possible for you to send me one. I hope you are all fine. Greetings to you from Morocco. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Yusuf from Morocco. Please accept our appreciations to you for this email. Here, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I extend my congratulations to you, Yusuf from Morocco, for the remarkable performance of your national football team in Qatar World Cup. They were really great, your footballers. And please send our greetings to your fellow countrymen in Morocco. And Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, regarding your request about sending you a paper QSL card, unfortunately, I should say that in the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff is not possible. Maybe after the pandemic, we will go back on the track to send our great listeners around the world those souvenirs of the past. So, in the time being, please accept our EQSL as verification. So, thank you very much for this email, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from India, we've received an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharji. Siddhartha Bhattacharji says, here I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, a calendar, sticker, and other promotional material. Hope all of your staff are safe. Salam and warm greetings to you. Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Thank you for your support and commitment to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. And regarding your request about sending you the materials you requested, including the program schedule, calendar, sticker, and other promotional material, unfortunately, it is not possible in the time of pandemic. Maybe after the pandemic, as I said, we will get back on track and sending you, our great listeners, the materials you requested. And for the time being, you can refer to our website to receive the program schedule at www.parstoday.com/en. At the time being, please accept our EQSL as verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India. We wish you all the best and hope you are safe and fine. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. One of our old and regular listeners from Chile has sent us a piece of email, Hector Friahofre. Let's see what Hector says. Dear friends of the IRIB English Radio, I send my greetings and also a report. I enclose to my email an audio clip confirming that I have been a listener of your radio. I would like to receive information about your country, and I certainly want to obtain a QSL card or EQSL if it would be possible. Thank you in advance for all your efforts. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And many thanks for this email, Hector Friahofre from Chile. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for this email. And we thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, Hector. Write to us soon, please, and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And again, from India, we've received an email, this time from Muhammad Aslam. Muhammad Aslam from India says, Dear IRIB staff, thank you for giving a quick reply to your listeners. I appreciate your staff and the programs you air in shortwave every day. I'm glad that I can hear your radio since the reception is fine at my home. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Aslam from India. And please accept our warm appreciations to you for your support to IRIB English Radio. Wish you luck. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as verification to this email. Muhammad Aslam from India, thank you very much for this email. Welcome back, and from Finland, we've received an email from Ismo Kapi. Let's see what Ismo Kapi says. Greetings. I am happy to report that I hear IRIB English Radio quite clear in Finland. Please listen to the recording I made and attach to verify I heard you. My name is Ismo Kapi, and I am 57 years old from Finland. I am married and have three lovely children. I live in a small city 60 kilometers west from Helsinki, the capital of Finland. My hobby is DXing. It is the hobby of receiving and identifying distant radio or television signals. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Ismo Kapi, and thank you very much for this email. So, you live in a small city west of Helsinki. It's good to hear that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in that region, far away land. So, your hobby is DXing, but Ismo Kapi, please be our regular listener and tell us your views about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best at IRIB English Radio. Anyway, we wish you all the best, and please send our greetings to your lovely family. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. Welcome back, and as I always say, art is long, but life is short. So, before saying goodbye to you and before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain, Hector Friahofre from Chile, and Siddhartha Bhattacharjee from India, Muhammad Aslam, again from India, and